Yeah, as the brothers just read, verse 3. Oh, may I love thy precious word. May I explore the mind. May I its glorious riches take. May light upon me shine. Oh, may I find my armor there. Thy word, my trusty sword. I'll learn to fight with every foe, the battle of the Lord. And this is very critical for this year, especially since we're touching the word this way as our topic. All of us must enter into this endeavor of the true school with verse 3 as our experience and our prayer. May we be those that we are contacting the word in this living way. Maybe we're not yet skilled that we could give every lesson, that we could explain all the prophecies and how to prove the Bible is the word of God and all this, but this is our characteristic. Nobody has to say it because it's very clear. I love the Bible. Amen. I love the word. I trust the word. You know, when we get to the matter of the attitude toward the word, there's one point in the Psalms, in Psalm 119, I think we give 26 ways to appreciate the Bible from Psalm 119. And one of them, in Psalm 119, it says, I raise my hand to your word. And raise the hand doesn't mean like this. It means that, you know the way we give handshakes? Yeah. That means what? If I see you, you're coming to me, already I'm like this. I'm accepting you. I'm greeting you. I'm welcoming you. I'm receiving you. That's how we should be to the Bible. Amen. We're going to open the Bible. Every word, Genesis, Exodus, Amen. Leviticus, and on and on and on. Every word, even the words that like our sister shared before, you read and you like them, and some verses you don't like. But it's God's word, so some words are a little difficult. A little difficult to swallow. You know, there's one word that says, do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's what the Bible says. Do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. So in the most intimate relationships, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the most intimate relationships of friendships, of love, even business partnerships. The Bible says, do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. What's your attitude? Oh, it's really hard because there's some relationships that, become in jeopardy if I do that. Well, what's your attitude? Whatever attitude you have is the attitude you will infuse into the next generation. So, it matters what is our proximity to the Word of God. Are we in the Word every day? We don't fake it through the true school. You don't fake it through by saying, just being with the program and saying the right things. Our attitude, actual attitude, will be infused. Our person will be infused. Our mind will be infused. Our concepts, our way of thinking will be infused into them. So we need to have the proper attitude, way of thinking, concepts. We need to be in the Word. We need to love the Word. It doesn't mean, okay, you didn't finish the Bible from now till August 1, then you can't serve. No, we're not saying that. What we're saying is we probably all need to go to the Lord between now and then and say, Lord, you know I do love the Word, but you know me, you know where I'm at. Lord, rekindle. Rekindle my love for your word. Rekindle my inspiration. Rekindle in my rekindle love in my heart for you and your word. Do that in me. I'm open for you to work the willing and the working for your good pleasure in this area. Not for my sake, but for the kids' sake. For them, I would gladly spend and be spent. for their sake, do this in me in these coming 8 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever it is. Lord, do this in me. Do it more in me. And we don't expect perfection, but we do expect advancement. Every day we should have some advancement. So I hope even we could pray over this stanza. Lord, do this in me. Oh, may I love thy precious word. May I explore the mind. Is the Bible that to you, a mine that every morning you're going in and you're finding, oh, something new? Or is it just, you know, we all go through stages. We all know this. We all go through stages, and sometimes things are not that fresh. But they cannot not be that fresh going into the true school. For their sake, for their sake, for their sake, there needs to be more. Because we're affecting lives. We're affecting their lives. Yeah. So I hope this lesson 24 that's in here, that's our outline three, the different ways of reading. I hope we could consider, Lord, rekindle my daily reading. Amen. Rekindle my morning time with you, the prayer, that it wouldn't be just a practice. Lord, even my touching the word, Lord, just rekindle. Even my, if you're reading, whether it's you're reading the footnotes or you're reading the life studies or you're doing some ministry reading, some of our localities have corporate readings we're doing together. Lord, rekindle that. Amen. And through that, my love for the word would grow. So that when we get here, there's just an atmosphere. There's just an atmosphere of love for the Bible. We're not expecting them to come this way, although some of the kids are coming this way. Yeah, some of us, when we were teenagers, we loved the Bible. And we were running to things like this, that we could just enjoy the Lord more. There's a good number among us. But there are some who are not so, but that atmosphere will infuse them. Will infuse them and could set them on a course for the entire rest of their lives. We're talking about doing a great work these days that affects the end of the age. Saints, just consider. You know, I wanted to read with you a portion in 2 Thessalonians. I alluded to this morning. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the first few verses, actually up to about 10, 11, 12, says, "Now we ask you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you be not quickly shaken in mind, nor alarmed, neither by a spirit, nor by word, nor a letter, as if by us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." Paul was fighting a battle there in the first century that some said, the day of the Lord came and went. No. Let no one deceive you in any way, because it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition. Someone is coming. That man of lawlessness is coming, the son of perdition. That's the sign. That's a sign that the Lord's coming is very soon after that. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or an object of worship, so that he sits in the temple of God. Can you imagine that will happen? Can you imagine the temple will be built? So this implies the temple will be built. Some of you went to Israel. You went there. You saw that wall broken down, people praying. One day the temple, and you may see this. It might start tomorrow. Be on the alert. I mean, this could be any time. This could be any time. You start to get, you know, right? The Temple Institute, everything's ready. They've said actually for decades, everything's ready to do that. But some of you were there, you saw that. And it's going to be right, it's going to be right there. And he's going to go, setting himself forth, saying that he is God. Do you not remember that while I was with you, I said these things to you? And now you know that which restrains. This is what I spoke of this morning. That which restrains, so that he might be revealed in his own time. That which restrains. We don't know what that is. We don't know who that is. What, there's some kind of power on the positive side to restrain the lawlessness. Then it says, now you know that which restrains, so that he might be revealed in his own time. For it is the mystery of lawlessness that is now operating. It was already operating, even in the first century. How much more now? The mystery of lawlessness that is now operating, but only until the one now restraining goes out of the way. And surely, from the first century till today, you can see the one who restrains has moved, like out of the way, at least a little bit. And there's much more on lawlessness now than in the first century. I've seen the shift since I was in high school, haven't you? Haven't you seen that the one who restrains has moved out of the way? It's like every 10 years, out of the way more, out of the way more. And so the mystery of lawlessness is almost like operating at will. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay, how? By the breath of his mouth. What does that mean? By the word. By the word of God. And bring to nothing by the manifestation of his coming. And the coming of whom is according to Satan's operation in all power and signs and wonders of a lie. And in all deceit of unrighteousness among those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth saves people. Amen. The love of the truth. Oh, saints, all of this, this is like, it was prophecy. It was prophecy. And to us, it's our, like what we're living in. It's reality here. The fulfillment is being in front of us. We have to prepare our next generation. And the most basic thing we can do is give them, according to 1 Timothy 2:4, salvation. Amen. And the love of the truth. Infuse them with the love of the truth, that they could be the pillar and base of the truth in the last age. Okay, let's come back to the lesson summaries, the outline summaries. So we are now in session 4 on page 8. Okay, we don't have the time even to read through like we did before, background, burden, focus. For this series of lessons, which is in the book from 7 to 10, here we have key topics of the Bible. They're all titled the same way, key topics of the Bible. Our message 7, lesson 7, is the triune God and the cross of Christ. Our lesson 8 is man and salvation. Please notice the triune God and the cross of Christ. That's summer school number 2, right? And then man and salvation. That's summer school number 1, right? And then the next one, key topics of the Bible, the eternal life and the believer's life. That's summer school number 4, yeah. So actually what we're doing in these lessons is summarizing all the previous summer schools of truth in one lesson. That's impossible. So look at what's the next one? 10, key topics of the Bible, the church. That's level 5. So you see we're trying to show them everything is from the Bible. All the truth schools are from the Bible, and we're just want to infuse them with some key points. The danger in covering these lessons is whoever is presenting tries to say too much. So whoever gets in is assigned these lessons, you have to develop a very clear focus. What point or points? Not more than 2 or 3. For the junior hires, 1. Maybe 2. For the high schoolers, it can be 2 or 3 points. What do you want to leave them with? This is how you have to think. I'm going to speak for 45 minutes. What do I want to leave them with? Maybe if you really focus your point, you don't have to speak for 45 minutes. The longer the outline or message is, actually, the shorter your speaking probably needs to be so that you can keep the focus on the one thing. So the first one is the triune God, you know, number seven, the triune God and the cross of Christ. Here, there are two things. The triune God, I would suggest just this one thing, dispensing. God wants to, everything is for dispensing. God wants to dispense himself into you. And he uses for this everything in your environment, everything, just to dispense himself into you. Everything's an opportunity for dispensing. The cross of Christ, you could go many different ways here. But one thing for sure, we want our young people to appreciate what the Lord did on the cross. And I think for the young ones, this is an opportunity to preach the gospel to them again and to show them the cross brought you Christ. The cross, that means everything, what the Lord did on the cross. And that they would appreciate the Lord's table meeting because of that. Number eight, man and salvation. In this lesson, it gets into, again, what we talked about this morning, Genesis, how Satan comes in to tempt man, to try to cause him to doubt God's word and doubt God's heart. That's mentioned in this lesson. That might be a good application. And to show what is God's heart, that his heart is so much for mankind. Many questions we cannot answer. Why are there wars? Why do good people die? Why is there famine? Why all these things? Actually, God's heart is good toward man. God wants the best toward man. And he offers salvation. And actually, we'll see later, the answer to everything is grow in this salvation. Bring in the kingdom, and the kingdom will solve all the problems. Amen. Every injustice, we have an answer. We are actually doing a great service to society if we would grow, bring the Lord back, and then we heal everything. Stop every war. Even we stop animals from fighting one another. And it says that in Isaiah, right? The little baby can play by the hole where the snake comes out. Then the snake comes out and tickles the baby. Then they're sitting next to a lion. And there's a lion and a lamb, and the lion doesn't eat the lamb. They're just playing together. Would you like to see that? So you think it's fairy tales. You think it's fairy tales. It's not fairy tales. This actually is the Bible. It's going to happen. And we can make it happen faster by growing in salvation and growing in our salvation. Eternal life in the believers, of course, in the experience of life, there are many things you could talk about to make that lesson subjective. Concerning the church, again, many things, high school and junior high, you could emphasize. But really, the main point is we want them to love the church. We want them to love the church life and appreciate that they are in the church life. Lesson 11 is a very important lesson, talking about the kingdom and the dispensations. I like to, when we cover this, I always like to take this lesson. Doesn't mean I'm going to take it this time, but I like to take this lesson because this shows you the reward. And when you talk about this, you have to talk about the Lord's coming back. And this is the incentive to experience the dispensing, to appreciate the cross, to grow in life, to build the church. This is the kingdom is the incentive. And it's good for them to know the truth of the kingdom. Actually, so many of the Lord's people do not know the truth about the kingdom. What a loss that allows for Christians to be worldly Christians. If you don't know about the kingdom, then it doesn't matter how you live. That's how I grew up. I grew up, although I was with brothers and sisters who loved the Lord very much, preached the gospel, were so burdened for the gospel. But the teaching was, once you're saved, you're always saved, which is true. Saved, always saved. But we're waiting to go to heaven one day. Waiting to die or for Jesus to come. and then we'll all go to heaven. So in a sense, it doesn't matter how you live today. But saints, it really does matter. It really does matter. Some have to grow. Some have to be the overcomers. Because actually the Bible says not everyone will grow. So there needs to be first fruit. Yeah, all of these points we could get into. But of course, age appropriate. We have to remember we're speaking to high schoolers, junior hires. The last lesson here is on the New Jerusalem, which again may seem very kind of ethereal, but it's easy to apply. Easy to apply. Because in the New Jerusalem has all these elements that we can experience today. What's the first thing in New Jerusalem? Actually, there's a throne. There's a throne in the center. We all have to live under a throne. There has to be a throne in our life. And out of the throne comes a river. And if we don't have the flowing of the river, then that shows we must have a problem with the throne. So we have to help them to live under the rule of the Spirit and also confess their sins. But thank the Lord, there's a Lamb on the throne that can restore the flowing of the river. And then there's a tree growing, and that's the supply. Always, when you follow the anointing, you have a supply. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to follow, but follow the anointing, you get a supply. And then you walk the golden street. And then when you leave the street, you lose everything. You lose the throne, you lose the supply. A lot of things we can apply here. Also, we can apply the gates, that we should be the gates of the New Jerusalem to bring people into God's purpose. A lot of things for us to apply here. But, okay, that ends the summaries. But if you notice on the... On the last page, we come back to the last page. The final lesson, we've added this, is our attitude toward God's Word. That will be the new lesson 14, our attitude toward God's Word. And these are the main points to that lesson, our attitude toward the Bible. The need to believe the Bible, the need to know the Bible, the need to apply the Bible, the truth of the Bible. And then the last point in this is a long point with 26 subpoints. Psalm 119 expresses the attitude of God's loving seekers toward God's law as his living word. And this is all taken from the life study of the Psalms. Peter, I want you to read this again. Read this, go through this list. Feel free to say a strong amen,
amen
for every point. This is how we enjoy God's word. This is how the psalmist, it all starts with they, meaning the Old Testament seekers. But we could apply they to us. Just say they.
Okay. They. A, they choose God's word.
Amen.
B, they believe God's word.
You don't have to, A, B, just read the point.
Okay.
C.
They lift up their hand to God's word,
amen,
indicating that they receive the word of God warmly,
amen,
and gladly, and say amen to it,
amen.
They love God's word,
amen.
They delight in God's word,
amen.
They taste God's word,
amen.
They rejoice in God's word,
amen.
They sing God's word,
amen.
They regard God's word,
amen.
They have a perfect heart in God's word,
amen.
They incline their heart to God's word.
Amen.
They seek God's word,
amen,
long for it, and hope in it with prayer.
Amen.
They trust in God's word.
Amen.
They muse on God's word.
Amen.
They consider God's word.
Amen.
They esteem God's word to be right in all things.
Oh, read that one again. Listen.
They esteem God's word to be right in all things.
Amen.
Amen.
They learn God's word.
Amen.
They treasure God's word.
Amen.
They treasure up God's word in their heart.
Amen.
That means they store it. Store it like a treasure. Yeah.
They remember God's word and do not forget it.
Amen.
They stand in awe of God's word.
Amen.
They cling to God's word.
Amen.
They do not forsake God's word. Do not swerve from it. Do not turn aside from it. and do not stray from it.
Amen.
They turn their feet toward God's word.
Amen.
They keep, observe, and do God's word.
Amen.
They walk in God's word and run the way of God's word.
Amen. Amen. All of those points are in Psalm 119. One way to prepare for the true school is read Psalm 119.
Yeah.
Just immerse yourself in Psalm 119. And we should get our kids to read that, as well. Amen. Okay, concerning the content, that's as much as we will say. We have not taken the time, as we have in years past, to focus on the group meetings. We do consider that the small groups are really the most important part of what we do. Okay, maybe Brother Shepherd will say a little bit about this in a few minutes. What we hope to do is, because we have had speakings about this matter and we have material that we've handed out and so on, we have established a website, sstteacherstraining.org. SST for Summer School of Truth, okay? Again, www.sstteacherstraining, no apostrophe, teacherstraining.org. On this site right now are several previous trainings that we have had, this kind of training, not only here, but in other places like Sydney, Australia, and Sao Paulo, Brazil, and Toronto, and other places, as well as one or two done here or in New York, in the city before. But what we want to do here within the next couple of weeks is put up some more training-specific material. So this training, this video will be there, the audio will be there, but more than that will be some clips or some previous sharings on the small groups. It will be marked, it will be indicated clearly on how to conduct the small group meetings. And there'll be points there. We really want you, before coming, to listen to some of that fellowship. Okay, very important how we conduct the small groups, the atmosphere that we establish, even the first day of the groups, very important. This is one of the major points. Setting an atmosphere that is inclusive, welcoming, loving, and age appropriate. We want to establish such an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere to the group. There's an atmosphere. It's not just doing the right things. There has to be an atmosphere that they feel comfortable and that they feel it's theirs and that they feel they belong there and they're connected with others there. And over the days, we build up and they can ask questions and they can bring burdens and so on. We want to build such an atmosphere. We're in the groups twice a day for an hour each time. And that group eventually becomes from the start, is your living arrangement. So you spend a lot of time with this group of people in those 10 days. So we want to build that up. We also talk about coordinating with one another, preferring one another, not domineering, not talking too much in the group meeting, but being a facilitator so that they talk more. And then you just add as needed, but get them to talk. All of these things will help us in our local young people's meetings. All of these points will help us. But anyway, within the next couple of weeks, we'll have some things there, plus some files that you can download and read that will be helps for the small group meeting. So we want to mention that. And we also will talk to you about the dates, right? Dates, and there was something else.
Registration
details. But I'll let Brother Shepherd take care of that. I just want to, I'll take 5 minutes, maybe you take the last 10. These are our numbers, the last few years. We had 2016, 2017 and 2018. Yeah, these are our numbers. We had, and this is the junior high, we had high school, and then we'll have a total, and then this is the serving saints, all the serving ones, and then we'll have a total. The first year that we did, that we had here in 2016, we had 75 high schoolers. The second year, we had 75 junior hires. The second year, we had exactly the same number. And last year, we had 106. Okay? Grew by 31. The first year, look at this. This is interesting. We had 184 high schoolers. The second year, it went down, 163. And then last year, high school was 167. So our total of young people was 259, is that correct?
Yes.
And then 238, yes? 238. And then last year was 273. So we're growing in total Then the serving saints, the first year was 203. The second year went down also, 182. And then last year we had, look at this, 253 serving saints. Yeah, that's because we were much more strict. That in every room, there has to be a serving one in that bed every night. So, of these 253, only about 70, I think, were full-time the whole week. So you had 183 that were taking turns coming. And some it's three people. Some it's three people. So actually, if you divide that all, it's only about 31 bodies each night. So that would be about 101. And that makes sense because our total number of beds in this place is actually only with mattresses. You know, we have mattresses on the floor, is 388. So that's our limit, that's our capacity, actually, each night. If we have more than that, we have to send people to motels. We don't want to do that. So anyway, we were pretty much to capacity every night here, all beds used. So this rotation of serving ones keeps us going, right? And we need that, and we're going to have that again. We will not accept the registration from your place unless we have a ratio of at least, what is it, 3 to 1?
4 to 1.
4 to 1. And then if you send us people, we need this many full-time slots. And you may send one person who's here the whole 10 days, but then there might be three brothers, they each can come for a portion, they count as one full-time person. So you're sending four serving ones, but it's not really four serving ones. You're really sending two serving ones. One full-time and all the other part-time to make up one person. Very, very necessary. So our total numbers have been, 462, and then 420, and then 526. Okay. This number will only grow. This number will only grow. So we have this restriction. So what we're considering, and it's just in fellowship, it's not an announcement, it's just fellowship, is that next year we have to have two truth schools, one for junior high, one for high school. We probably, something like this. Monday through Lord's Day. Monday through Lord's Day, all the junior hires come with their serving ones. Lord's Day, everybody goes home. And then on the following Monday through Lord's Day, all the high schoolers come. If you as a serving one can stay for the whole 2 weeks, wonderful. We'll give you one night here free. And we'll take care, we'll feed you, and you can rest. You don't even have to drive the young people back. You don't have to drive the young people coming. Just take a day and enjoy. Yeah, okay? Sleep the whole day if you want. Yeah. We may have to go to this next year. So that means that for each child, for each serving student, the true school will be shorter. It won't be 10 days. For each of them, it'll be seven days. Yeah. And actually, if you, is it seven or really six full? You know, it's really six full day session, you know, 12 sessions. Yeah. Not 20 like we have now. We're considering this, just pray to see. This is a good problem to have. That means we're growing. Anyway, this is just for your consideration and your prayer. Do you want to say some few things about registration and so on?
Sure. Well, I think we're also going to have a...
With the coordinators. Yeah. Yes. But just some things that are general for everyone to know.
So, like Brother Ricky mentioned, really what we're trying to do is improve our service year after year. And so we've learned a lot, made some mistakes along the way. And I think we really, especially given how important the small group is, we like to produce either videos or, you know, just a script of how each group should look like. And it's very different because, of course, the brothers, they have different needs. The sisters have different needs. Middle schoolers are, you know, your group of sixth graders, it's different with the senior boys. And so you can imagine it's very dynamic. But I think there are some general principles, and I really appreciate the word that came out, is there's an atmosphere, right? And that actually needs to be developed. You know, it's not something you go in day one and it's there. But you will see, especially if you serve before, if you're with them day one until the end, like if you could take a picture, right, of the atmosphere, it's night and day. I mean, it's really amazing what the Lord can do, right, in this period of time. But to help everybody, and we understand not everyone who serves at summer school is here right today. And for a lot of us, it's just good to be refreshed. And so we'll put all these things, we'll make this resource available. But I would say, I think a lot of it comes from principles on shepherding young people. And I think there's a lot of publication out there already that is very, very useful, right? And I'm thinking about the booklet, How to Lead Young People. There you have a set of points on... And there, actually, the resource is there, right? And how, for example, one of the first points is having an interest, right? Taking an interest. I think this came out even this afternoon. If we have an interest in our young people, actually, that opens the door, right, into their heart, right? And so, actually, we were with the recreation service team this afternoon. That's one of the burdens. It's that we would be with the young people, not just in the meetings, not just sitting next to them, telling them to take notes, you know, but to be with them on the field, right? You know, you can imagine if they find out, wow, Chad likes basketball, right? And he's pretty good. He has a good jump shot, right? And then he plays with them a couple days and develops a relationship. Then when that young person is in his group and he shares something, wouldn't you think that young brother is going to be like, wow, what do you have to say? Like, you know, it's like you get an opening right into their heart. And so having an interest in the young people is so important. That's what we're trying to even facilitate through recreation. So anyway, the point is, please, we'll make this announcement. We'll let everybody know. We need to, of course, develop this. So, you know, you need to give us some time. But hopefully we could have everything ready. And then when you go back, of course, to also encourage the other serving ones, including the college students, to also go to that website for this material. I think we also went over some of the services, and I think maybe just to, in brief, to cover the burden behind a lot of these services that takes place during the summer school. Within every house, right, we have someone who needs to act as the coordinator, and to kind of like really act as the in-between between registration and also the young people living there. And that's very important to have a good, even an atmosphere within the living arrangements, to maintain the schedule, to make sure the young people are doing well. We have ushers during the week to in both the high school and the junior high side to, you know, lead the young people into the to greet them in the spirit, right? We also have the music service, which I think without, you know, needing to say very much, is also very critical to help the young people to enjoy, right, to turn their heart to the Lord through singing, and to bring them out of wherever they are, right, into their spirit. We have recreation, which I spent a little time just before going over. It's developing to have an atmosphere where we could really cherish and to get to know the young people. A lot of times the shepherding takes place, right, outside of the meetings during the break times, right, where you could take a walk, where you could, you know, throw the frisbee around, and then the young person will just, you know, after they feel comfortable, they want to bring something up. It's actually during those times, right? And so that is very important. Mm-hmm. That's a key service. Medical actually is also, for this period of time, for all of us to be together, you know, you could just imagine the bumps and bruises. When I observe, you know, because the registration office is right next to the medical team, everyone who comes to see, like, either, you know, one of the brothers or sisters who's a nurse and doctor, actually they're blessed. I mean, of course, we don't want anybody to be injured or sick, but they, you know, they touch these saints, and you could just sense the humanity, the cherishing, the love. I'm just thinking of these saints, and it's so just so sweet to see that kind of interaction. But for that to happen, we really need the manpower, right? And so, again, I think we're just asking all of you to, you know, to go back to your respective localities and then to encourage the saints to just even come for a few days. Because once you come and you're in this environment, you see what the Lord is doing, you get caught. There's a testimony last year. There's these two young full-timers. They originally were more, you know, focused on the college students. But last year we had a big group coming from the Boston, Cambridge area. And this couple, actually, they're both, they have a medical background. And they just told me after those few days, they told me, I'm coming back, because they realized, wow, what is going on here? It's so precious. It's so worthwhile. So do encourage the saints, even like if they have some of these specialized background, to come and serve at the summer school. We can, you know, make sure that there's room for them. I think that should be all. I think there's some more specific matters that we also want to convey. But again, like Brother Ivanhoe said earlier, we just need some of the ones who are going to be coordinators, or if you could relay that information, maybe you're not the coordinator, but we do need representation from all the localities, starting at 5:30, right?
The dates and also
okay.
When the registration.
Yes.
So the dates, if you don't know already, it's August 1st to 11th.
So that starts as a Thursday, Thursday night, Thursday evening, and then ends
on a Lord's Day. Okay? And we will have registration. Well, let's put it this way. You could start your local registration, if you haven't already, tomorrow. And let the saints know. We'll let everyone know the specifics concerning, the cost and everything through an email. But those are the dates. We will have the deadline set as July 7th.
That's the early deadline.
Let me see.
Put it in red.
So July 7th as the first deadline, and then July 14th as the late
registration deadline. And the reason for this is we're endeavoring to get all the information in, just so that, actually, I could mention this now. This year, when especially the serving ones, when you're registering, we like to know where your burden is. In other words, are you burdened for the junior high boys? You're burdened for the 7th or 8th graders, or are you burdened for the upperclassmen, the high schoolers, 11th and 12th graders? Because by getting all the information in early, then we could start forming the groups, and then hopefully we could have all that information ready before you come, and so that you could get connected with one another and start praying together. For the list of names, your grade level, and to start that fellowship and coordination. And so we just feel like to make the deadline a little earlier so we could gather all this information. Okay? Again, if you have any questions related to summer school, we do have an email address. I'll also put this down. It's northeastsst@gmail.com.
How about just 1 minute of some short prayers all together?